This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/joelduggan to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 172 for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight, as he always does at the beginning of the month, Mr. Hammond Chamberlain. Welcome, sir.
Hello, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing great because I'm on a podcast. I had a week off last week of all of them. I skipped the Citadel Cafe because I had some work to do and I had some family in town. And we also canceled Comics Coast to Coast because of the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S. Yep. So, and it turns out that the three of the potential four episodes a month that I do on the Citadel Cafe are all with U.S. hosts. so unless I had found a Canadian contingent, and I did have a couple of people that said that they would do it, but ultimately I just thought, you know, I could really use the couple hours to do client work and do some other stuff. So that's what's last week. So I'm happy to be back. It's like having a, you know that moment when have you ever worked from home? I can't remember if we've ever had this conversation.
No, I have actually never worked from home.
So there are moments as a entrepreneur where you work from home all the time, where you go to the grocery store at 7 p.m. or you go out somewhere and the first thing you say aloud all day happens well into the evening.
Now, I have had that happen, but it's been because I've been home alone, like my wife and kids are out of town.
Right, and okay.
So I've had that happen.
Right. And it's a weird feeling because all of a sudden you feel like pouring your life story to the lady at the checkout at the store. Right. Like just you start talking and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, it feels really good to talk to another human being for a change. And, you know, you get kind of friendly and like, whereas if I've been, when I was in offices and stuff and when I was talking to people or if I have been talking to people all day, when I go to the grocery store, I barely grunt when I go through the checkout. It's like, hi, nice day. Yep. That'll be how much? All right. Visa. Thank you. Got to go. Bye. Like it's minimal. So yeah, it's been an odd time without my regular podcasts in the week. I'm really curious to see how I'm going to feel come the new year because, you know, we usually take 2 weeks off over the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, especially with both Christmas and New Year's falling directly on a Thursday night this week. It's going to make for some absent podcasting over the holidays, but as it should be because we tend to do family stuff around that time. What have you been doing for family with the Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, November and December is kind of like insane time for birthdays because my sister-in-law's birthday hits, and then then we have my dad's birthday, my daughter's birthday, my brother-in-law's birthday, Christmas, and my father-in-law's birthday all within about 6 weeks.
Wow.
So it basically goes my sister-in-law Thanksgiving, and then it's just a slew of other gatherings after that. Mm-hmm. So it really is very, very busy. And luckily I like hanging out with my family. So it all works. So Thanksgiving, we got together at my brother and sister-in-law's house and we ate and hung out and talked and had some fun. And then coming up, we have, you know, basketball season for my oldest daughter starting. And I mean, it's just busy, but it's a good busy.
Yeah. I feel like I've been quite busy too with family and stuff, and it looks like my folks, at least for the time being, are not, well, they're not going down to Florida this winter. Barry had knee surgery last week. Nothing, you know, bad. It was elective. It was to fix. It's orthopedic stuff. So he had a bad knee, and they went in and made him half titanium.
Oh wow, that was a really bad knee.
Oh yeah, no, he was limping on a regular basis. So and they had to wait for the right opportunity. Mom is a former nurse of 35 years or more, so I mean he's in good hands now. He's kind of he's crabby on a good day, so I'm kind of curious as to what he's like when he's on pain 24/7. But that's my mom's problem, not mine. But no, I mean, he's doing much better. Mom said that he was up and, I mean, not walking because you know, obviously you can't put weight on it for a few weeks. But he's supposed to use it. Like, he's supposed to bend his leg and use the walker as best he can and really only rely on stuff like that when he has to. But Mom says that he's doing much better. So, but as a result, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, my wife says that I'm a little bit more likely to be, okay, so I kind of tell goofy jokes anyway, mm-hmm. but when I'm on painkillers and I post-surgery, as I've been known to be many times in my life, she says that my jokes get worse, but I laugh at them harder for myself.
Nice. I'm very similar in when I fly because I take anxiety medication for when I fly. And I go from being what I hope is a angry, funny cartoonist to a happy, funny cartoonist that doesn't give a rat's ass about anything. it's funny. Like, I mean, I take them specifically for flying, but as a result, I'm often, if I'm flying, I'm usually going a long way. So it's like, you know, 14 hours of flying to get somewhere, which means that there's an entire day of, like, you know, you're in airports and restaurants and stuff. So it's not just the flights. And I've noticed, like, the thing that I like about this stuff is that it doesn't take me out of my faculties. Like, I remember everything.
And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing.
Well, no, because, I mean, I remember being extraordinarily happy in an airport, thinking, like, why? Like, it's an airport. It's not anything special, but I just, you know, the combination of being on vacation and then also having to have, you know, the anxiety meds for flying, it's a very relaxing day, you know? And I just remember, you know, walking through and not really giving two shits about anything. And it's, you know, including the jokes you're making and all that kind of stuff. You're like, all right, yeah, whatever. But yeah, I just, it's opened my eyes actually to...
Have you tried drawing in that state?
No, I haven't. It doesn't completely wipe out my fear. It just makes me so I'm not so, I'm still in control. The best way that I can describe it, what I've done on the show before, is that the little voices in your head that say, it's just a plane, people do it all the time, and nothing bad happens. You've got a better chance of being in a car accident if you decided to drive to Utah than you do flying to Utah. And without the meds, my brain doesn't listen to that voice, and I end up having like a physical reaction where I tense up. You know, like my legs are flexed, my back is flexed. And ultimately what ends up happening is I have a back spasm or something over the course of the week, and it ruins my week. And it's a very stressful, you know, flight, because flights can be 4 hours or more. Mm-hmm. So, but on the stuff, I'm still uncomfortable. Like, I'm still not happy to be on a plane, but at least I'm not freaking out. So yeah. I tend to need something like, I'll pay the $15 for the Wi-Fi and then play Hearthstone or something. For the duration of the flight. I wish that I had some more mobile games, but like I wish I had something that I was really into that would just like completely absorb me. That didn't need internet. I find like I can only read for so long. I can only listen to podcasts for so long. Like that kind of stuff doesn't distract me, but like an interactive, video game like Hearthstone completely distracts me. So that's usually what I try to do. Yeah,
it just dawned on me that if you had more than four or five people on the same Wi-Fi on the plane playing Hearthstone, you could actually get a fireside card back by playing Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah, I'd imagine you probably could. And it doesn't take much because, I mean, I have an older tablet. Like, I've got an older one that barely runs the program, and I've played on a plane, and it was fine. I might have lost a couple of games for disconnection, but I don't blame the plane Wi-Fi. I blame my iPad's antenna. Like, it's not strong enough. If the Wi-Fi isn't fantastic, then the device doesn't keep up. It's also an older device, and it's a brand new game, or brand new. I guess I shouldn't call it brand new, but it's a higher demand on the hardware than.
Yes.
You know, it's the bottom rung of that model that will get into Hearthstone. I don't think you can play it on an older device.
Like, yeah,
I think
it's the low end of the window that says you can play it.
Yeah, exactly. Which is unfortunately why I don't play that much anymore, because I prefer Hearthstone in a mobile setting. than I do sitting at my desk.
I frankly do too. I prefer it with my feet kicked up, laying in bed or whatever. I have a really hard time sitting at my desk playing it on my laptop.
Yeah, just like the dude from the Overwatch trailer. The security guard that's sitting there playing on the transparent tablet. Speaking of, why don't we have those yet? I want that.
Well, Tony Stark does.
Yeah, Tony Stark can talk to everything. See, I've recently been able to upgrade my personal tech through the kind donation of Michael O'Day. I inherited an older phone, and I now have access to voice software. So I can't get into too much detail, but I really like it. I've been living on an older device for a long time, and there's some features of current operating systems that were just not available to me. Now, I mean, I realize the novelty is probably going to wear off, but just the simple act of checking to see if the bridge is open, because there's bridge construction in town right now, so the bridge is not always open. Checking to see the weather, the temperature specifically when I'm going for a run, and being able to set a timer in the kitchen when my hands are busy is amazing.
Yeah, when you're making those pancakes, you need to have a timer running.
You do. Cast iron heats up, man. You got to flip them every 3 minutes, I'm telling you. And that's how I barbecue, too. People ask me, like, Joel, you're actually a decent, you know, griller. How do you do this? I was like, because I time stuff.
Yep. I actually use a timer, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I could be really fancy and do a thermometer, but it's I don't have that kind of patience. I don't barbecue in the sense of like a charcoal grill. It's a gas thing. So it's really just cooking outside with easy cleanup. But inside, like I use it for all kinds of things in the kitchen, and I want that moment when you walk into your connected home and you go lights and then everything just starts. I don't want to have to.
And the TV rises up from the foot of the bed.
Yes. You know, or however, what happened in Back to the Future 2? Was it on the wall? Did it come down from the ceiling? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But like, I don't want to have to activate the voice command and then give a voice to command. Like I want
you don't want to say, have to say, hey, house.
Yes, exactly.
And have it respond. In an
Precisely. You know, I want to be able to just speak and have it do. And I'm okay if that means I have to sit down and read a phone book to set the damn thing up. That's fine. Like if it needs to recognize everything about me. I recently watched actually the original Iron Man on Netflix, and one, that movie stands up. That is that's a good piece of film. And two, I just really like the idea of having a Jarvis. Like it's so appealing. Like it would be a sexy
problem. That would cure your problem of being the first time you hear your own voice.
See? We're solving all kinds of problems for entrepreneurs. I also want it to be a sexy Irish voice that I'm talking to, and not you know Paul Bettany. But still, I could make do with you know a British butler that's a digital computer in my house. I think that would be super fun. But I have despite not having a lot of time for Hearthstone, which I haven't even looked at the new adventure thing. But I did take advantage of the Heroes of the Storm Black Friday sale. I say Black Friday loosely because it's now Black 2 weeks, or at least Black weekend in most places. But something that I've often kind of pulled back from with Heroes of the Storm is the cost of heroes and the cost of like bundles and stuff. There was a really good bundle when I first got in. It was like $5, which is currently now like three something. It's really cheap, and you get like three heroes in a mount. I don't think you get any skins, but it really does kind of get the core characters in there if you want. It's Muradin, who's a tank, Malfurion, who is a support healer, and then Raynor, who's a attack DPS, and he's a sturdy DPS, so he's not really paper thin. So
now I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about here, but isn't Raynor the same, this one you use for your tutorial, so you actually learn how to play him?
He is, correct.
Wow, look at me applying knowledge that I really didn't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that was one of the reasons why he's in that starter pack is because he's very straightforward. It's like, oh, he has a gun. You point it that way and you fire it. And that's kind of the extent of your abilities, really. They all translate to point and shoot, or one of them is an inspire ability. So your friends and your minions around you will gain attack speed and movement speed if you're nearby, if you activate this ability. So it's really straightforward. He is still my most played and most, the hero that I am most comfortable with in terms of playing the game. But I did pick up two or one. I picked up two. I bought Sylvanas and I bought Thrall. Normally they're $9.99 American, which is like $116 Canadian right now. No, it's like $13 or $14, but still, it's a lot. It's a lot to pay for a digital thing that doesn't have any scarcity and doesn't have, you know, any kind of, like, it doesn't even come with a figurine, you know, even if it was poorly made in China, like I want something. So I've always found that the $10 to $14, because some of them are $14 regular, it's just too much for me. But in order to compete in Hero League, I need a couple more heroes. And I don't play that often that I'm making in-game gold. All of this stuff is completely free if you want to spend the in-game gold on it. So you don't have to spend real money. But it's a good way to kind of kickstart, you know, your availability for certain matches. So I decided to buy Sylvanas, who's another damage dealer. And if I haven't already, I will eventually buy Thrall, because he's a melee kind of tank damage dealer. And I just like the way he plays. A lot of the characters that I tend to play a lot are more resilient, because I'm not a very good player at the game. So I tend to die a lot unless I'm beefy. So I tend to take characters that have a lot of health or a lot of armor or something that kind of helps mitigate their their flightiness, their vulnerability to being attacked by other players. So that's been fun. Like, I've been in there. I played with Ryan from the Gamers Inn on Gamers Inn Game Night last week, and I played with Mike O'Day and some friends on the weekend, which was super fun. There's a character now, you've probably heard about this on other podcasts, but there's a character called Cho'Gall,
and he is with two heads.
Yeah, he's two heads, and he's played by two players. So one person drives is essentially the Cho part, and you've got like a fist and you're a melee kind of smash everything to pieces kind of guy. And then the other head is the warlock head and the spellcaster. So then you get to like shoot death bolts and zap things and shoot goop at bad guys and stuff, but you don't get to steer. You're just kind of along for the ride. So because I'm not super good at positioning in the game, like I'm still learning, Cho'Gall was great because Mike O'Day was playing and he would drive, like he would be Cho and I would be Gall, and we could just wreck face because he knows what he's doing. But then he's got, you know, someone essentially like literally watching his back. You know, if someone comes up behind him, you shoot, I'll shoot them. So it was quite fun. I really enjoyed it. Have you had a chance to get into it at all past the tutorial?
I downloaded it. I watched the opening little piece of it, and that's as far as I've gotten. And my goal is sometime between Christmas and New Year's, I'm actually going to get in and give it a whirl.
Yeah. Where you haven't even given it a whirl yet, I'd hesitate to recommend you take advantage of the sale and pick up like the teeny tiny starter bundle for $3 and whatever cents it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would certainly get you going. I mean, you earn, I think it's 500 gold when you get a character to level 5. And that's any character. And then if you switch to another character, then when you get them to level 5, you get another 500 gold. So you can stack up the gold pretty fast. And some other heroes start at 2,000 and 4,000 gold a piece. So it doesn't take super long to get up an extra, you know, a little bit extra gold to pick up a third or fourth hero if you want.
Yeah.
And there's always a free roster of heroes. I believe it's 5 or 6 that are free every week, and it changes every Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yes, well, I mean, like you get
like
in.
Like I said, I've got it's on my list of things to do.
Mm.
It's just that the list of things ahead of it take priority because, you know, I've got kids and stuff.
Yeah, you know, adulting. It's important.
Yep.
Well, when you do, let me know, because I think the most fun I ever have in that game is absolutely playing with friends, even if it's just one. And I'm pretty sure that I would have the ability to set up a match where you and I would be on one team with AI teammates. And then we could just play against an entire AI team.
Okay.
And that way you're not under the pressure of like, you know, because it's a team game. And if there's other people would have the expectations of not always, you know, like not necessarily playing with someone that's completely brand new. But there's a good way to kind of get people into it. And then having someone to like, I learned so much by playing with people that play more than me. It's such a nice way to kind of do that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that's not the only... the only video game talk that we have. I feel like you've been doing... Are you still playing Hearthstone?
Oh, yeah. I'm still playing. I'm way into the new adventure, which is great. I'm loving it. I actually made it to rank 11 last month.
Nice.
And I tell people who play Hearthstone, I'm like, wow, that's actually really good. I tell my wife, and she's like, I don't know what that means. And she gave me like a weak high five, because that's what she think. That was kind of the way her acknowledging the fact I did it.
A weak high five. Oh, man. You,
but
there's a slide. You have to explain the sliding scale of 25 is the bottom, and what is it? Legend is the top?
Yeah. And then I think there might be both. This isn't Legend. I don't know. Until I get there, I'm not going to stress about it.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever made it past 18 or 19 tops.
Yeah. I rode a secret paladin to 500 wins and to rank 11.
Wow. That's pretty
cool. And then I retired him out of guilt, and I haven't played a paladin since.
I don't play often enough that I have to play a warrior when I log in, because it's the only thing I know how to do.
But it's funny, Sydney has started playing it, my nice. Oldest daughter, and she actually did a whole segment on her show about Hearthstone.
Oh, right on.
And it's pretty entertaining hearing a 10-year-old break down the tutorials of Hearthstone to other 10-year-olds.
Yeah, that would be, you know, you and I, we listen to a lot of podcasts, and until recently, when I discovered Between Us with Sydney, I'd never really sat down and listened to kids podcasting at all, because, well, you know, it just wouldn't dawn on me. But I've you know, now that you mention it, having kids take on video games, because so many of the video games that are covered in the podcast I listen to are either, one, made for adults, or two, it's adults that are going through them. So even though Hearthstone is super kid accessible, I'm getting the adult point of view on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a link in the show notes that I did from an article from Geek Dad. It's 10 reasons why you or your family should be playing Hearthstone.
I skimmed that before the show, and I was disappointed, because I really thought the first thing that they should have mentioned was the math.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I was actually really disappointed in the fact that it's math, it's strategy, it's planning, it's all this higher level brain function stuff. And then you go into the fact that you can, you know, squelch people who are, you know, spamming thank you, and, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are really, really advantageous for like young brain development.
Yeah, and there's no chat. Like there's no YouTube comments or potential. It's not, I mean, the game is on the internet, but it's not the internet at large.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there is also something I didn't know about Blizzard games at all, is that there are parental controls on accounts.
Yes. I actually learned that when I was setting up things.
Yeah. That's really cool. So you can like gate the number of hours a day that can be played and all that kind of stuff. And a parenting question, given the fact that the game is fun, is interactive, it fosters all these different kind of brain functions and practices math, and in a time frame where you, like, it's not like you can sit there and think about stuff. Like, you have to be able to do the math and do it right in, mm-hmm. you know, a certain amount of time in order to take your turn on time. If all of the homework is done, like, if there's nothing else going on and all the responsibilities of, you know, a 10-year-old are taken care of, like, where do you draw the line? When do you say too much is too much?
She usually plays for half hour, 45 minutes at night. Some nights, other nights she's got basketball and she doesn't touch it at all.
Right.
She hasn't gotten to a point where I've had to say, okay, enough, put the innkeeper down. Step away from the table. Huh. But she plays, you know, two or three games. She's still learning. She's been playing a lot with a hunter and a lot with a mage, because they're both kind of aggressive decks.
Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward.
And,
yeah.
And she doesn't have the patience yet to build up a board before she starts attacking. So she's got lots to charge. It's like she goes, of the 30 cards, she puts like 15 charge in and 15 taunt, and she figures she can get through at some point.
Huh. I never thought about the patience thing.
Well, that's like a with a warlock, you have to have some stones, because you're killing yourself to get advantage.
Right, that's true, yeah.
And with a warrior, you need to have the patience to build up a board that you can control.
Yeah.
And if you're always just attacking, you're giving up your minions as fast as they put them out. Yeah. So you need to have that patience to be able to put out a board that you can take over before you start actually attacking the face.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why I'm so drawn to Warrior, because it's such a different game pace. Because that's what I do. I'm a control warrior. Like I just own the board until I can own your face. Yeah. And the good thing is that it's a pretty sound strategy. It's pretty frustrating for anybody that is impatient, and I can usually if they make a mistake, I can usually exploit it. Mm-hmm. The bad news is that if I'm losing or if I'm drawing bad cards and I can't protect myself enough to last until the end of the game, then it's a lot of time invested in losing.
Yeah, it really is. So, those are long games.
Oh my God, like 20, 25 minutes. It's a really long time sometimes, especially if they're not trouncing me. Like if they're going to win, but it is taking a very long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I, you know, sometimes I'll just give up and say like, you know, whatever. I don't see this coming anywhere, and I'll concede. But most of the time, it's just like, oh, I just need one more card and I could do this thing. And I mean, and the problem is that I've been out now for two expansions. So I'm behind. I've never paid money for Hearthstone.
Really?
No, I've bought cards with gold. I unlocked the first, what was the first expansion?
Naxxramas.
So I unlocked that with in-game gold, and then I ran out of in-game gold, and I never paid whatever it was, the $10 to unlock the last two tiers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like I lost interest. Like, I mean, it was fun. It was neat. And then I ended up just wanting to play I just want to play versus. It's like StarCraft. Like I have never completed the initial storyline in Wings of Liberty. I'm almost there. I'm on like the last mission. But when I had that game and it was like all I wanted to play was PvP. I did not want to play the mission. Whenever I had a moment, I wanted to log in and I wanted to play other people. That is what I felt was a true test. I found that the missions, despite the story being very cool, were really long. The single player stuff was just really long. And once you figured out where the computer was coming from, you're like, all right, fine. I'm just going to sit here and, you know, wait. And then you're like 45 minutes to an hour to complete a level. And it lost its interest for me. I think that's what I like so much about Heroes, is that you are pretty much always going straight up against other people. I like playing other people in games like this because you can't predict what they're going to do. The games are pretty short. I want to say you can get 3 Heroes matches done in an hour.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, give or take. Right on. Well, I guess we can roll into what we've been watching since we've, you know, kind of spent the first half of the show talking about video games and stuff like that. I actually have, you know, lately I've been pretty picky about what I've been watching, and it takes a lot for me to turn a movie off. And I want to kick off with a little bit of a complaint, because I know that we're going to probably talk about something else for the length of this, but Home by DreamWorks. Are you familiar with this? Little Purple Aliens?
I am familiar with it, and neither of my kids had any interest in seeing it, so we skipped it.
You lucky son of a gun. That, man. I mean, I don't want to refute the idea. The idea of these cute little well-meaning but misinformed aliens coming and quickly kind of scooting all of humanity off into this own little bubble in a ship to live and prosper, and then taking over the planet because they're just doing us a favor. Was a neat concept. The fact that the main character has a beautiful design. She is a little bit older than the average main character for a human in an animated movie. She's more like 12 or 13. She said grade 7, wherever that lands her.
That's about 13.
13. And her name is Tip, or her real name is Gratuity, but her friends call her Tip, which is kind of a fun
yeah, that's
pun.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. And she's also, African-American and what I loved about it is that they don't even mention it. Like it's just like, this is just the kid that's in the movie. It's awesome. It's so nice to see such a diverse, you know, cast. And cause some of the other characters, other human characters, that it wasn't all just white picket fences and white folks being kidnapped by these aliens. It was like all walks of life, which was awesome. And again, like they just, you know, the story takes place in Paris and LA, and it's all over the place. But the thing that absolutely kills this for me is the main character, the alien. Oh, he's played by
Big Bang Theory guy.
Big Bang Theory guy. What's his name? Jim Parsons?
Yes, Shelby.
I love Jim Parsons. Sheldon.
Sheldon. Yeah, Sheldon.
I love Jim Parsons. He's very good. I enjoyed his little cameo in the Muppet movie. I liked him on Big Bang Theory. It's hard after watching so much Big Bang Theory to imagine him in anything else. I haven't seen any of his other film roles. You recognize his voice immediately, so it's kind of hard not to. And the aliens at large are pretty nerdy. Like, they're very tech heavy. So you kind of immediately think like they're dorky. So you recognize Cumming's voice right away. But the dialogue, and this is not, you know, Cumming's fault, but the dialogue for this character, it's all internet speak, or internet idiot, as I like to say. I am too having to go now. Can I come into the outside? Like, it's all this just nonsensical stuff where they've just taken a regular sentence and
it's kinda like Yoda-fied it.
Yeah, but Yoda had charm. And Yoda wasn't in the movie for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, Yoda has, and this is the thing, this idea and this character would be perfect for the sidekick that doesn't have a line every 2 seconds. Right? But it's one of those things, like, I'm not sure about you, but like when I watch a lot of British TV, my inner monologue is like British for the next day. Right? Same thing when I watched a lot of Justified. I had like a Southern Kentucky drawl going on in my head whenever I would be kind of doing my own thing. It's how it affects me. I found myself, even after watching 30 minutes of this drivel, that I'd be going to like around the house and was like, I can't has to go to the bathroom. It's like, what? No. That did not just happen in my head, but because it's a constant thing. Cause not only like all of them talk like this, it's not just him. It's the entire population of these aliens, the Boov or whatever they are. Anyway, I might go back and finish it just because I really enjoy the girl, the little girl in it, but man, it was terrible. It's unimagined. Like it's not super inspired. If it's an average kids movie, it's beautiful. I mean, it's animated really well. It all of the things that you would expect from a DreamWorks movie, but you just, somebody somewhere just really could have done a lot better if it was just, even if he was just talking like a normal person, it would still be watchable.
You know? Yeah, I feel then like I dodged a bullet because neither of the kids were really interested in it.
Yeah. Now, did you guys go see the Minion movie?
Yes, we did, and I don't know if I'm going to break your heart or not, but I thought it was actually kind of weak.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I found them to be annoying after about 20 minutes, and I was amazed at how much Spanish they spoke.
There was a lot of Spanish. Yeah, I think it's because the Spanish words just kind of come close to whatever their gibberish is. It could be just juxtaposed against home. But I basically had both of them ready to go.
It did have a great soundtrack. I have to tell you that. Yes. Loved the soundtrack.
Yeah, it did. And I have to, I love the fact that it was a period piece. Like it was the spies in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s sort of thing. The thing that grabbed me was like, it was in the first 10 minutes, immediately, it was funnier than home. It had more charm than home. And it was certainly sillier. Now, it's not up there with like Inside Out or something from really, you know, magical from Pixar. But I thought, you know, for characters that don't speak, like they gibberish and they emote, but they don't actually say anything. To carry a 90-minute movie with three of these little things as the main characters was, I'm sure, a challenge for everybody. The pantomime and the animated storytelling was just brilliant. I really enjoyed the villains, I have to tip a hat to Sandra Bullock and John Hamm. I happened to glance at IMDb and I saw that it was Sandra Bullock. Otherwise, I probably would not have guessed. I certainly had no idea that it was John Hamm doing his character, which is her husband. That's the guy from Mad Men. Uh-huh. And he, like, normally when you get a superstar like that to do a voice in the cartoon, they're essentially like Brad Pitt as an animated character is Brad Pitt as a cartoon. Like he's not, there's no real oomph to it. And I felt that Bullock and Ham were both very good voice actors. Like it was a lot of silly. I feel like they were having fun with it and it really added a lot, especially because the rest of the time you're listening to the minions kind of yammer on. But I had some very, unexpected laugh out loud moments in the movie, like a lot. I would recommend it for a fun, it's not going to challenge your brain. Like say, yeah,
my kids enjoyed it. I've seen worse kids movies. Like I sat through Book of Life or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah. I had to shut that off too.
I've sat through the Airplanes movie. There are plenty that I've gone to that I've hated. This was very much just kind of middle of the road. It was one of those things where I saw it and I laughed about the soundtrack and my kids ran around for 2 days talking like minions, which kind of irritated me. And then we moved on.
Yeah. I mean, they're fun. I'm surprised that they were able to pull off a full 90-minute feature. Like they would be better set as shorts. So like if you're going to the movies to see the next Despicable Me and there's a 10-minute minion short at the beginning of it, like that would make more sense. They're more Looney Tune, type characters. But I thought they did a pretty good job. The character design in the movie is brilliant for all the villains and the people.
Yes, I'm not knocking the technical and artistic
no, of
values.
Course, yeah.
It was just for yeah. me, it was just one of those things where I was just like, meh.
Yeah. I think
Man
I
from
think,
Uncle's a better 60s movie, 60s spy
ooh,
movie.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet. I want
to. It's really yeah. good. I'm There's a big, some great
I'm,
moments
yeah,
in
I'm
that
a
movie.
Big Henry Cavill fan. I really enjoy him. There's a who's the lady in that?
I don't remember her name. She's not from around here.
No, she's British, isn't she?
Yeah. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but she was great. Henry was great. The other guy playing the American, he was great.
Which is funny because he's British too, I think.
Yeah. It was. There are some brilliant sight gag moments in that film that are played without any irony, and they just take you by surprise.
Nice. I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what show does that? What show that I was watching does that? Downton Abbey. Because they don't laugh at their own jokes, right? They just, the grandmother in Downton Abbey, Maggie Smith, will just say something like just deadpan, as serious as a heart attack, and I lose my mind. Like, yeah, that kind of stuff I can really appreciate. So what have you been watching?
Well, I'll be honest. I was kind of not upset because it's Lou's gig, but I've been watching Ash versus Evil Dead, which is, I'm totally digging. I am a huge Army of Darkness fan. I have a skull from the movie on my shelf looking at me right now. So of course I'm watching it.
Nice.
I watched, Jessica Jones. I'm 4 or 5 episodes in.
Okay. So I can do spoiler free.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. I feel like we have to talk about that because that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Right now I'm watching it because I feel like I have to. Because it's a Marvel thing, and I keep waiting for the Marvel stuff, like what happened with Daredevil, to happen to kind of grab me. But this is moving a lot slower, which is good in some ways, and then it's killing me in others.
So I felt the exact same way, and I will tell you that it does get better. And it gets darker, if you can imagine.
Well, because I just saw her save the policeman without saying too much.
Saving the policeman. Right. Okay.
So that's where I left
rooftop,
off.
Rooftop?
Saves? Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all the things that you've seen so far, as far as, that's pretty dark for a Marvel show. Not even close. And that's what grabbed me. And I want to say it was longer than normal. So most Netflix shows around episode 3 to 5, you get the hooks into you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I'll watch this day. And for about the week, you're like, oh, I'll watch one a night before I go to bed. And all of a sudden on Friday, you watch episode 5 and it's like, oh, okay. And then the rest of the weekend is just shot because you've gone ahead and watched the rest. I didn't do that. I did pace it out because I didn't have time. But I figured, hey, I got to eat. I might as well watch an episode of Jessica Jones. But with this show, I really felt that it was a steady crescendo. And it really does take the first 6 to 7 episodes to start going. And then it just kind of goes and goes and goes and really kind of gains a lot of ground. It certainly suffers from an origin story, not in that we're getting Jessica's origin, but in that they're building up the world in which Jessica lives and the style and the attitude. And that takes a long time. It's like watching the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. Like, you're just like, oh, come on. Can you just have spider powers already?
I recently watched Batman Begins again. And do you realize how little he spends time in the Batsuit?
Yes. Yeah. No, I've watched that recently too. And you're right.
But we don't care because he's also being trained to be a ninja by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Nerd point -5. Write that down.
Sorry.
Hammond -5, December 2nd. Done. All right. That's it. You're on probation. But yes, the Batman Begins it's not as slow as the first Spider-Man. Something I like about the Minions movie actually really took off quite quickly as to what they do and how they do it and why. They covered a lot of like the origin of the Minions in like the opening credits.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about what other shows that I've liked. Well, for example, Supergirl. The exact opposite pace of Jessica Jones.
Yes, exactly.
Like if you could find two opposite poles, I would say that we're there.
And I'll be really honest, not that I would show Jessica Jones to my 10-year-old, but there is no way she'd sit through it because they spend the first two episodes basically making Jessica Jones almost unlikable.
Yes. Yeah.
She doesn't become likable even a little bit until she gets hooked up with the bar guy.
Yes.
Then she becomes a little bit more likable, but now I like her because of him. Not because of anybody else.
Yeah, and Luke Cage is a good character. I enjoy him as a character. Apparently, he's pretty popular in Marvel Comics, and I've heard of him only leading up to Jessica Jones and knowing who he is and what he's about. But also a very charismatic actor. Like he's not a happy person in the show, but he's got a very appealing quality to just his presence on film or on camera.
It's a shame they billed him as Luke Cage because I'd love to see a reboot of Blade with him.
Yes. Yeah, he would have been a way better Blade than Wesley Snipes. Agreed. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the Blade franchise at all, really. I think I remember liking
the Blade TV show that came out?
No. When did that come out?
Yeah, there was a single season Blade TV show that came out in the mid-2000s, and it wasn't horrible. It was watchable. I'm not saying it was good, but it was better than the last couple of Blade films.
Yeah, well, anything's better than Ryan Reynolds running his mouth in a Blade film.
Yeah, which is funny because it's the same thing we're going to get in Deadpool, except we've been chomping at the bit for that.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think Deadpool. I think Deadpool looks like a giant rubber cartoon. I don't think it looks good at all.
I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. You're a big Deadpool fan.
Not huge, but I'm enough so that I will be there probably opening week.
Yeah. There's such a huge is Deadpool Deadpool's Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. That's the first time I'm looking at a Marvel movie kind of going, I don't know. Because they've done it I feel like they've done it really well with, I mean, Daredevil is dark, but still very Marvel. All the Marvel movies, of course, are you know, adventurous and fun. And then DC is doing it on the television side, but yes, not so much on the movie side.
Like, except for Green Arrow. Don't forget, Green Arrow is basically taking over TV as Batman.
Yeah. The thing about Green Arrow lately, and I think we're heading for hopefully a shift. At least he's the Green Arrow now, as opposed to just not, you know, someone else. But the recent episode of Flash, it's crossover week. So we're getting probably up leading up into a Christmas cliffhanger, getting a crossover between Arrow and Flash. And so Flash's episode from last night was probably the best Arrow episode that I've seen all year, right? And it was heavy Arrow. Like, the whole crew is in it. Like, it's everybody. It's Barry, it's Speedy, it's Arrow, it's Daigle, it's Felicity, everybody. Even Ra's al Ghul is in it. And I love the fact that there's this modern kind of flip on, people keep on finding out who Barry is just from slips of the tongue. He has to do his super thing to save somebody. There's more and more characters that are also supers, and they're good. So they then reveal their identities because they need help to help one another. So it turns out into this giant, it's turning into the Justice League, super fast. And they don't address it directly, but the characters react to one of the characters says, "Oh my God, Barry, thanks for saving me." And Barry is standing there in the Flash outfit. And there's somebody else in the room that has no idea that he's the Flash. And he's just like, "Oh, come on." I'm just give me a break. So stuff like that I find is really cool. And just in modern technology and modern age, there'd be no real way for someone to maintain that kind of secret identity.
Well, and I love the fact that when Oliver Queen is around Barry Allen, Oliver Queen is a funny, nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is not funny when he's around anybody else.
No, it's true.
And it's as if it's part of his character that he takes on this kind of goofy older brother role with Barry. And Barry brings out kind of the silliness in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's the one thing I can say that I really like about that relationship is it brings out the fun out of Oliver because nothing else does.
Yeah. And as Flash has continued on, it's also getting more fun. Barry is becoming cockier. Not in a bad way, but in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
And it's more like the Flash that everybody's used to in the cartoons and the comics. And I like it. And so then he's doing it with his friends. He doesn't care about speeding across a room where everybody's just having drinks and talking and stealing drinks or doing something pulling pranks with his superpowers. That kind of stuff is really, really fun. But I mean, I'm enjoying the crossover. I think it's gonna be good. Arrow needs something because there's just too much happening. Angst. And it's like, hey, with all these important people on screen, I guess we don't have room for Laurel. Darn. I guess she's not in it.
Well, and I'm not sure how. I mean, they introduced Constantine.
Yes, they did.
In the backstory. So he's got to come back and help dig out from the big bad this season because he's proven that he's going to be hard to beat without something like Constantine around.
Yeah, and Constantine has already been in it.
Yeah, I'm saying they've introduced him as a backstory.
Yeah, but he's been in the present day too.
Has he?
Yeah, in Arrow. Yeah, he has. They are very quickly, for the last few episodes of Arrow have been tolerable because they've essentially been one by one introducing the Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
So it's it's a Constantine, Black Canary, the real one. Mm-hmm. And then, what's his face
Adam.
There? Adam. I don't know.
The Captain Cool and Fire Guy.
Oh, right. They're in it. I hate those guys. They're terrible.
I think they're hysterical because they're playing exactly the same people they did when they were in Prison Break.
Yeah. Nice. Well, without spoilers, because it is a fun reveal. When you do have a chance to catch up on Arrow and Flash, there's even more Justice League characters.
Oh, cool.
That are appearing in the show and look like they're going to be a decent part of it. And I love the fact that we're in a point where TV where, a giant shark or
The giant shark was awesome.
And he looked good.
Yeah.
And so same funny. With the gorilla with Grodd. Oh my God. I love that they can just do that without even have to think about it. They don't have to think, all right, we want to put Darkseid in Smallville, but we've got no idea how to do that on our budget and have it look anyway believable. And then they do it anyway and they put a dude in a suit and it's a terrible idea. It was awful. That was the worst season of Smallville ever. And I wish that there was a rewind button and that we can go back and have did I say Darkseid?
Yeah.
Shoot. I meant, Well, actually, Darkseid was in it too, and that was terrible. Doomsday.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doomsday is who I meant. Minus five Greek credit for Joel. I'm back on even ground. But yeah, like that season in general was just terrible in Smallville because they couldn't do it. They couldn't do a Hulk-sized spiny monster to fight Clark.
So what they do is you go back and have Lucas remaster all of Smallville.
Yeah. Well, the effects team
they could remove the guns and put in walkie-talkies.
Yo, great. Let's do that. The effects team on Flash is spectacular. It looks amazing. How fast he moves and stuff. I'm really digging it. Some of the same stuff with Supergirl. I mean, the flying stuff is a little hokey sometimes just because it's a, you know, the green screen didn't quite cut it that day. But for the most part, the stuff that she does in Supergirl is awesome. Like she takes off and she breaks the sound barrier and she does, it's all like punch first and ask questions later, which is great. You know, I'm really digging that. I'm curious. I won't get into it this episode because we're running short on time, and I do want to know what you think, especially because you know you and I and Sydney had spent so much time talking about Supergirl a couple weeks ago about where it gets to by the time you're in episode six.
Okay.
Like once you're all cut up, I'm curious to think what you to hear what you say about it.
Well, next month the two of us can join you and do some Supergirl catch up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll hopefully have you back on for like the Christmas special or something.
No,
like that.
I was talking about just me and Sid for like.
Oh, sure. Yes.
January.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That would be fun.
Yeah.
No, I'm down for that. I think that would be really, really cool.
So you're the one who turned me on to Broadchurch.
Oh, nice.
And I got an email from Netflix today telling me that Broadchurch season 2 is on.
Ooh. I shall have
which
to
means
check.
Jessica Jones might actually have to wait. I'm
which
sorry.
Is funny because there's an actor that's shared across those.
Yes, there is. But and he's the guy who I thought looked a lot like Brian Dunaway in season 1.
Yeah, you're right. I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
Then the other thing I wanted to bring up is I just got a copy of the Jaco Pastorius documentary. I backed it on Pledge Music. It was produced by Robert Trujillo, the bass player for the band Metallica.
Okay.
It's an awesome. I don't care if you play bass. I'm not even sure if you need to be a big fan of music. This is an awesome movie. And when you get a chance to see it, please do, because it's great. There are a few music documentaries that have affected me as this one did.
Interesting. I don't watch a lot of documentaries, but I should do more because I feel like it's a good opportunity to just learn stuff while being entertained. I think the Lego documentary was the last thing that I...
Yeah, I watched that on the plane when I was coming back from Disney World.
Oh, the Lego one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that one.
Yep.
Probably tops. I'm trying to think about the last documentary that I watch a lot of nature documentaries, but I find that those are, I don't feel like I'm watching a documentary. Those are just like, it's eye candy, you know?
That's the thing is there are things when they're done well, and there are things where they're just giving you information. This one, you can tell the people who are working it really wanted to do it right.
Cool. Well, before we wrap things up, I have to mention at least one music pick, which is rare for me, but that is...
It is. I'm actually impressed.
Yeah, but this, and I'm a big fan, and I've kind of been waiting for this. It's not very often that I actually follow artists these days. Most of the music I listen to is by people that are dead, but Adele, 25, the album, is bloody fantastic. I've always been a fan. I have her other albums, 1921. And singles here and there. But without kind of gushing too much and just kind of saying the same thing over again, this album as a whole is ridiculously good. She was on Jimmy Kimmel, she was on the Tonight Show with, what's his name? Fallon, Jimmy Fallon. And she had mentioned that she doesn't make singles, she makes albums. And it's nice that people, you know, that singles come out of them, but like she, when she sits down as an artist, she wants to make an album and it shows. It's just really good music. It's listed as pop, but it's not really, it's very bluesy. And I really enjoyed it. She's got a powerful voice. And as a singer songwriter, she is just, I think I'm probably always going to be a fan. It's one of those things that you can just, you know, you hit play and you hear the first single, like, oh yeah, okay, this is the one that I've heard. Sweet. This is the one that my friends lip sync when they're in the car and all this good stuff. But then every, like, you go away to do something like do the dishes or whatever. And then every song you're coming back like, ooh, that's good. What's the name of this one? And he's like, oh, that's the next song. And I feel like I was doing that the whole album.
That's cool. And I'm actually really excited to see what she does, like when she does album 33 and album 40. Because watching people mature and grow in music is some of the most interesting things you can do as a fan. Because they grow and they want to experiment and push themselves as artists. And sometimes they feel inclined to not, you know, do that because they know what their fans like. But it feels like she is doing the albums that she wants to make and the songs she wants to write and the stories she wants to tell. And as she gets older, I'm interested to see how those translate into pop songs because, you know, as people mature, the emotions mature. And I can't wait to hear what she has to say when she's, you know, older.
Absolutely. And to hear her interviewed, I mean, obviously she's, you know, done a lot of those kind of things and she carries herself quite well, but I would never have guessed that she's 27.
Yeah.
You know, like I would have put her as older. Not that she looks older, but just she carries herself as someone that's kind of in their 30s.
And her voice is very mature. It's not like she's got some, you know, squeaky
no
younger voice. She's got a deep, rich, strong, powerful voice that she has full control over.
Yeah, and her speaking voice is you know, with a British accent, I find that everybody just seems more mature no matter what.
Yeah.
But she's also a goof. Like, she was messing with Fallon live on the show, which I thought was pretty fun. Yeah. But anyway, good times and a really good album, 25 by Adele. That brings us into the Internet Minute, which is, of course, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit tweakedaudio.com and use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's tweakedaudio.com and TCC at the checkout. And speaking of Jimmy Fallon and Adele, my quick pick is Hello, but performed with The Roots and Classroom Instruments by Adele. This is a week old. It was put out everywhere like last Wednesday. I was having a rough day. It was the first thing I saw on Facebook when I logged in for the day. And, it was just fun and very, it's always impressive to me how these guys make this music with essentially little xylophones from preschool classes. Like it's just mind blowing, but it's a fun little video. I highly, recommend people checking it out. You can just find the, Tonight Show YouTube channel and get everything.
I love those little clips.
Yeah, they're great.
I picked an Adele thing too, just because you were leading the way.
Nice.
There is a guy in Norway who runs this place called Frog Leap Studios. His name is Leo. And he does basically heavy metal covers of popular songs.
Nice.
And this guy is an awesome musician. He does all the instruments and then he turns around and mixes them and masters them and then does the videos all on his own. And he's covered everything from Uptown Funk to Ghostbusters to, you know, ABBA to all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they're all great. His Let It Go from Frozen is not just was well done, but the video itself is hysterical because he's playing on his daughter's like toy drums and pianos and stuff. So I put in, I think it's Rolling in the Deep is the one I picked.
Nice. Good song.
And it's great. I love what he does. And I'm actually going to try to track him down in the next year to get him on my show.
Right on. No, it's neat. I'm looking through his Patreon right now and he's got everything behind a paywall. Does he do anything on YouTube? Like,
the first link there in the show notes.
Oh, okay. That's his YouTube channel.
Yeah. That's Sweet. The YouTube link to the song.
Okay, cool. I will, I'll make sure that is in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of those show notes, you can go to thecitadelcafe.com to find this episode of The Citadel Cafe, as well as the show notes from the episode with all the cool things that Hammond and I were talking about on the show. The music for the show was provided by Kevin MacLeod. And alphageekradio.com provides the live stream where you can go every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com/live to hang out with Sam Boney in the chat room, who is always palling around and apparently has a thing for Luke Cage on Jessica Jones.
It sounded like you had a thing for him, what I think.
me and Sam will fight over that. We'll see who wins. I did not find any iTunes reviews that were new in the iTunes store, but it's one of the best ways for the podcast to reach new listeners. If you'd like to check that out, then leave us a review. Tell the world how great you think we are, and then hopefully more people will find us and do the same. That is the goal. Anyway, email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com to tell us how not great we are or how wrong we were. Only Hammond, not me. Find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. For me, that is joelduggan.com, where you can find all kinds of stuff, including things like books that you might want to buy friends for Christmas, or original art. The window on the number of commissions that I can take before Christmas is closing very quickly, given that I live in the middle of but nothing nowhere Canada. Compared to having to mail something to, say, I don't know, California, it takes a while. So if you're interested in getting something, then check out joelduggan.com. There is an original art section as well as a commission section. There are some digital things. So, I mean, if you want a print or a digital piece, then that will obviously get to you quite quickly. You just have to wait a little bit for the physical print, but you'll have something to reveal on Christmas for sure if you'd like to pick that up. You can also support me on Patreon at patreon.com/joelduggan, and that is where you can help me do some cool star-crossed comics. I have one coming up. I just posted it last night for my patrons. It's the rough...
I got it.
You got it. Sweet. So first time in a while, if at all, that I've done a two-tier comic. Normally they're a single strip, but it's like a 10-panel or 8-panel comic strip. And it also happens to mark the 6-year anniversary for Starcrossed.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a while. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years, but it's been fun. I'm going to keep on doing them. So check out patreon.com/joelduggan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and all those places with just my name. Hammond, where can people find you and the cool podcasts that you are doing online?
You can find me at jhammondc on Twitter. I do a show called Beyond the Playlist with jhammondc, which has the 2-year anniversary show with Joel as my guest.
So if you're not sick of me yet, folks, you can go there.
And it comes out Sunday.
Nice.
So again, thinking about the fact that I've been doing this now 2 years, it's kind of astounding to me. And then I also do Grumpy Cast with Daryl Skeels and Joey Image. And we tease something during the cover-thon, a project that might be happening with me and Brian Ibbett.
Very cool. How was the cover-thon, by the way?
Oh, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I was the 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning person.
Nice.
So he was doing a lot of bobbleheading, and then I made sure that my song list was all upbeat songs, and it kind of helped. But you could tell that last stretch was really getting to him.
Yeah, no, I'm too old to do all nighters. I don't know how people do these 24-hour marathons. Granted, it's for a really good cause. Remind me the charity that he is it for.
His was Alzheimer's.
Right, that's right. I knew that.
Oh, and the other thing that I've done recently is I'm doing an all podcaster January. So I've got Willie Dills Gregory, Kyle Ferguson, Ryan Murphy, Jackie Hearn from Record Killers, and a guy named Daryl Taylor who runs his own podcast network, all coming up in January.
Wow, that's awesome. Is that the first time that you're going to be talking to all of those people?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm really curious to hear Ryan and Kyle, those being buddies of mine. I think those are going to be fantastic shows. You have been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
My conversation with Kyle Ferguson was great. He told me I saw this giant spike in my downloads at the 1st of November, like this huge thing, like my entire catalog got downloaded twice.
Wow.
And so I'm like, wow, somebody sucked them all down. So I'm talking to Kyle during the interview at the end. He's like, yeah, so in preparation, I downloaded every episode that had anybody's name that I slightly recognized and listened to him as I drove down to BlizzCon.
Nice.
So he said, I did a lot of homework because I learned a lot about Chapman Stick. I learned some stuff about Schwood.
Kyle's a riot, man.
He goes, I learned that Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica is a little bit nuts.
I I can't remember what I was doing. I was having lunch, I think, the other day, and I was watching the After Show games from Enter the Nexus. And they're kind of, I mean, like, there's the show proper, but they're kind of off the hook when they record the post-show games. And mm-hmm. Kyle is just so funny. It's just, he's so, like, some bad shit will happen. And it's just water off a duck's back, you know? He's just like, yep, that's just how she rolls. And Garrett, meanwhile, is just like, you can see the steam coming out of his ears, right?
Yeah, Garrett doesn't handle losing very well.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
I watched an after show where Jocelyn beat him with a patron warrior. And I thought he was going to crawl through the internet and choke her out. I mean, he was genuinely upset with her. It wasn't just like play angry. He was genuinely upset with her.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got some buttons that if you know which ones to push, it's interesting. I used to play StarCraft with him, and I didn't play very much because they're all so much better than me at these games. So I feel like I'm always like the anchor that's holding everybody back. He definitely gets ragey in StarCraft. Heroes is not so bad from what I've seen, but I tend to play in the after show games, and those are more for funs stuff. Yeah. I haven't seen very many situations where he's playing competitively, like in, say, in a tournament. I think everybody would be taking it a little bit more seriously. I want to see some streams of Scott and Bo and, John?
I can't think
of it. I'm trying to remember all the people from Core, because I really enjoy that show too.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.